We grab the sports world by the neck and swing it around like a cowboy's lasso. It's a heck of a thing, really. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Scheman, along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Is that a glitch in the Matrix?
Now I'm having problems with my headphones. I sound weird. I'm getting everything shortened out in here. Operator error.
The difference is negligible.
I'm good now. Yeah, it's bizarre. All right, here's what we're going to do. We got a lot going on, as usual. We are going to talk about high school football later on this hour. Marcus Grant will be with us in the next hour from NFL Network, and we'll talk to him about fantasy football. So text us your questions there. We got a few of our own. And Rick Hora will be with us, our business insider, at 5:30 today. And I don't know if he's going to be at the Browns game tonight, but the last couple times he's talked to us, he was in the owner's suite in Philadelphia the other Thursday night. He was with hanging out with the Dolphins.
Yeah, Mr. Lurie. So and maybe he's on his way to Cleveland.
He has informed me that he will be at the Monday night tilt in Tampa. So, in fact, he's inquired about golf with us on Tuesday morning. I'll have to get back to you guys on that. So, anyway.
I can make it.
We got a lot going on.
Next week?
Yeah. He's,
I'm in.
We're going to drive down from Tampa, and we ought to do it.
Let me know. I can play at my place.
That may be a possibility. Just got the message. I was going to talk to you about it, but then we had to go back on the air.
Nice little foursome. Well, yeah. I could talk about it right now.
Yeah? Make plans right now?
You said you were done with golf. You weren't going to play anymore.
Who said that?
Chris. Listen, if we're playing on a weekday, because my wife is 3 weeks away from giving birth, she can go in at any time. I can't be on the golf course leaving her alone with a crazy two-year-old. But when the two-year-old is at school, I got no responsibilities.
Yeah. All right.
Work.
Well,
it's the same guy that chastises professional athletes for not being by their spouse.
Got to play the game instead of watch your kid be born. That's you.
My shelf life isn't 4 years. I can do this for a while.
And if you played golf while your wife was in labor, your shelf life would be
your
4 seconds.
Life, yeah. Your marriage shelf life is going to be a lot shorter if you're not there to
Daniel
catch that
Kilgore
kid.
Daniel Kilgore can only contribute to my Miami Dolphins for a handful of seasons.
Yes. You got to be there.
It was
like,
Kilgore, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was.
Yeah. You got to be there with the catcher's mitt on, man. You got to be ready to go.
No.
No? What?
I don't go down there.
No. Oh, boy, you got the shoulder, you're patting around the head. Yeah. Good job, honey. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Are you even in the room? Are you drinking beer? What are you doing?
Well, last time I was not in the room. No.
You were not?
It was an emergency C-section. I wasn't allowed to be in the room.
I thought they allowed the husbands in with the little mask and go. You can be there for the C-section.
For a normal C-section, an emergency C-section is like...
You're just in the way. I agree.
Right. Yeah. You had the umbilical cord got wrapped around the neck. So like that was like a...
Oh, yeah. That is serious.
Yeah.
Well, that must have been a nervous time for you. I did not know that.
It was a little nerve-wracking for a few minutes, yeah.
Wow. Okay. How long does an emergency C-section take? I mean, that's like within 2 minutes, they're like up and rolling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was very fast. Probably.
So how long were you stressed out, like not knowing information from all of a sudden your wife is gone?
It's tough to tell because it felt like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm very confident it was not 15 minutes. It was probably closer to 4 or 5 minutes, but it feels like an eternity. Because, first of all, it was at like 2 a.m.
Oh.
So the hospital is dead. Nobody is there.
Right.
They stick me in some room where like there's no lights on around me or anything. So I'm just sitting there like, the hell do I don't even have my phone on me.
Man, that does sound like a stressful time. Well, that all worked out. You have a beautiful young son. Another one on the way.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right. Let's get this train back on the tracks here. All right. We didn't get to all the sound I wanted to play in Sound Street. And there was some good stuff out there dealing with quarterbacks and coaches around the NFL. First of all, Ben Roethlisberger was talking about Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger has been saying a lot of things that makes it sound like he's walking on eggshells. He's trying to be the leader. He's trying to guide Antonio Brown and say things through the media that, hey, you gotta, be a better, more mature person, but he's careful not to offend. It's very, very touch and go. Here's Ben Roethlisberger on Antonio Brown.
You know what? It's the freedoms that we live in this country, right? We all get the opportunity to to say and do things that we want to do. And so I don't do it. I think there's been times that I've told guys, hey, just try and be smart, you know, because isn't that the point of, they call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement or wherever they are trying to bait you into saying things. So I just think you have to be smart and rise above it at times.
There you go. Ben Roethlisberger. Elsewhere, Aaron Rodgers. Listen to this, guys. So Aaron Rodgers and even Joe Flacco has come out. Quarterbacks are now calling out the NFL, saying the protection rules for the quarterbacks are ridiculous. Like, they've gone too far. Even though this is in their best interest to remain healthy and not get hit. Here was Aaron Rodgers.
There's a goal to limit these hits, but they're pretty obvious when you see them. You know, a guy picking somebody up and full weight on them. What do you say to Clay? You know, his head is out of it. His hand is on the ground. That's not roughing the passer. Same thing with Kendricks. You know, what do you say to him on that? I didn't get up off the ground thinking, where's the penalty? You know, I saw a late flag and couldn't believe there was a penalty on the play. But I'm a traditionist. You know, I've watched the game and loved the game for a long time. And some of the rules, I think, help. But some of the rules, you know, maybe are going the wrong direction. You know, I know they're trying to think about the you know, progress of the game and the safety and stuff, but it's still a collision sport, and those to me are not penalties on Clay or on Kendricks.
Now, let me ask you guys this.
Yes.
What do you think Al Riveron, the senior vice president of officiating, is thinking when he hears these comments and he's alone in his home and no one is around? Can you imagine the cussing that is going on?
Yeah, I was
going
to say, we probably can't say it on air what he's thinking.
He must be out of his mind. He's like, I am doing this for guys like you.
Oh, this rule is in there because Aaron Rodgers got pummeled and had his shoulder cracked last year, his collarbone.
I'm telling you.
That's why this rule's here.
Al Riveron, he might have spontaneously combusted after hearing that.
Yeah.
I mean, that he has got to be livid, right? He got to be.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the officials are put in an impossible spot sometimes with what the NFL's telling them versus what their eyes are telling them. I mean, I'm sorry. There's nothing that would tell you that
Clay... Well, we know what it really is. It's not for the player's safety. It's just not. They want Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
It's PR.
It's a money move.
Yeah.
Flat out. More eyeballs that are watching their playoff games, their games in December that are really meaningful, the more advertising dollars they get, and they know DeShone Kizer playing quarterback for the Packers doesn't garner the same attention as Aaron Rodgers.
No, it does not.
And I think that they treat certain quarterbacks differently. Like, I would be shocked if Ryan Tannehill were hit too hard this year and a flag were thrown. I'd be surprised. I feel like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, I feel like those guys, that group of 10, will get calls that the group of 22 others will not get.
I noticed Cam Newton wasn't on your list.
I'll tell you what, Brady got popped early in that game the other day. It was like two steps and he got hit, and I said, they're definitely gonna, I didn't care they didn't throw the flag, but it was like,
he did.
No, they didn't.
Cared.
He cared. He didn't throw a fit or anything. I was like, oh, it's definitely coming. They didn't throw it.
And then, I don't know. And Cam Newton has been targeted for, it feels like, years. Mm-hmm. I mean, going back all the way to that season opener 2 years ago against the Broncos, where there were like three or four plays where you're saying, you're kidding me. Well, how is that not roughing the passer?
Right.
What, because he's 6'5", 280, he doesn't get called the same way, or 250, let's say.
Yeah.
He doesn't get officiated the same way as Drew Brees?
Yeah, well, I think it's a fact. It is, absolutely. Now, he did take a hit this past weekend, and there was a penalty. In fact, the player was tossed.
Because it was so egregious, they had to. It was, crown of the helmet when a quarterback is sliding and driving his helmet into Cam Newton's
helmet. And then Cam Newton says, well, it looked worse than it really was.
What is Al Riveron thinking when he hears that? And I thought that Kazer was going to get suspended.
Yeah.
Did he not?
I haven't seen anything yet. No. Just tossed.
No?
So that's it. All right. I know Chris is waiting for his Dolphins to play the Raiders this weekend. It's in Miami. It means the Dolphins or the Raiders have to come all the way from the West Coast.
They did win down there last year, 27-24. However, Jay Cutler was the quarterback that day. Wow. Different team, different players, different attitude.
And a different coach for the Raiders.
Raiders will be 0-3 after Sunday.
John Gruden, the offensive scheme for the Dolphins is spread and wide open. We have to defend the entire field.
And they spread the field. RPOs, a lot of running plays with built-in pass options. And they'll throw the ball to anybody. And Tannehill is as viable a ball carrier as Frank Gore is. You got to account for him. And Kenyon Drake is capable of making big runs. So they've got different styles of runners. They have a unique running game that's wide open. A lot of their passes are on running plays where they're throwing the built-in RPOs. So we got to defend the entire width of the field. And they have Kenny Stills and Parker, two guys that make you defend the field vertically.
Sounds exactly like he did on Monday Night Football right there. That was your analysis, right? Didn't say,
he likes to say
didn't
RPO.
Say much.
He
loves to say RPO. That's exactly what I thought.
Loves to say RPO because I know he doesn't like RPO. I think he's like Coach Fitzgerald at Northwestern that calls it communism. In its purest
the
form.
The purest form
purest
of communism.
Form of communism.
Which I would
the
differ.
RPO.
I would differ slightly from that definition.
Because apparently Fitzgerald at Northwestern doesn't know in college your offensive lineman can be 3 yards down the field on a passing play.
Right, right. Exactly. All right, so we are all caught up on the NFL. Wanted to get to say, what's the latest? Tiger just birdied again. I think
no,
two,
that was a par save.
Well, he's minus two, so
yeah,
at some point
under.
He
yeah,
picked
yeah,
up
yeah.
a stroke since the last time I looked up. So through 13, he's two under.
That was a few minutes ago.
Ricky Fowler is four under through 15, got a two-stroke lead. So it's Ricky and Tiger, one and two right now.
So I kind of teased this, though, but let me just read it for you, okay? For years, I have stayed away from Twitter because there was very little positivity. I will stay completely away from the cynicism and destructive words. I hope to bring a spirit of optimism, which is so needed today. One, Rick Pitino, his first tweet. He now has 3,759 followers, which I am one.
Damn, he passed me.
And that's not really entertaining.
How many is he starting with?
First of all, the guy who did his page or whoever spelled his name P-I-T-N-O initially a couple hours ago. They fixed it.
That's embarrassing.
Put his, yeah. So, but
that's a tough one to get right.
There's pictures of it all over the place. So here's some responses to Coach Pitino's first tweet, if I may.
Okay.
Drew, okay, but crop your photo better first. Can you do ask anything Friday? First question, do you still have the tattoo?
By the way, have we heard from Tattoo Guy since we got Mick Hubert on the show yesterday?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a way to send him our show logo on the text line, and I can't figure it out yet.
He needs picture-ready artwork.
Yeah.
Or whatever this, they say.
Again, responses to Rick Pitino's camera first ready. Tweet. Ben, hopefully you can last more than 15 seconds on here. can you come and coach Nebraska?
Wow. Football or basketball?
Hey-o.
First post, short and quick, just like you like it.
Dang, that's a rough crowd. So much
it's
for the positivity.
It's Twitter. Of course it's a rough crowd.
Coach, you still have plenty of supporters in Louisville. Thanks for all you did. Good Lord. All right, let's see. Can't read that one. You won't dare leave me unblocked.
You won't.
I only give the tweet 15 seconds of my time.
Wow.
Congrats on getting your name right on the second try. Andrew, welcome to the madness. One sports coat Corey. No evidence, no tapes.
I predict that Rick Pitino will quit Twitter by Friday, tomorrow.
Jeffy, I believe you are premature in your optimism. Hude G says the internet always wins.
Why would he go on Twitter?
I don't know.
You don't need that in your life, Rick.
No.
Richard?
No, Richard's his son, coach of Minnesota.
Yeah, don't confuse it. Wow.
He's going to be on here every day trying to persuade people that he didn't know. This should be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I want the number to the escort service.
Don't worry, RS, don't worry. This is a safe place, like a booth at a Louisville Italian restaurant.
Man. This is stone cold.
I don't care if you stay away from Twitter, just stay away from the women's restroom.
I had to know that was coming.
Let's see. Hey, look, it's the coach who was involved in three scandals and claimed to know nothing about them and whines about his life more than anyone ever.
Is that the quickest, easiest defense? Rick Pitino, I didn't know anything about it. Urban Meyer, I didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Mark Cuban, I didn't know anything about it. I mean, is that how we roll to try and get out of trouble?
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, can't read that one.
All
Welcome,
right.
Coach. Happy to see you're making positive contributions to this community so quickly. Being negative isn't the same as calling someone out on their lies. Also, you ever figure out who was running the Louisville basketball program during the last 4 to 5 years?
Didn't know anything.
The Pitno Express. They spelled the P-I-T-N-O. They forgot the I.
The Pitno.
The Pitno Express.
Yeah. there's a whole bunch of 15-second jokes.
Wow. Sounds like we better join and send a few witty tweets his way.
You can do those on your personal accounts, boys. We're not going to use the station for that one.
No, but you get the general
idea. Yeah, you get the idea.
All right. 239, text again, the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Why aren't we talking about Craig's Lions upsetting Pete's Patriots on Sunday?
It's a great point. It's a great point.
I think it's going to be a close game. I'm going back and forth on that one. I know you think the Patriots are going to win. I told you early on, my two losses were going to be Jacksonville. I thought they'd be 2-2 to start. Mm-hmm. And I said Jacksonville and Detroit would be their losses. So I went back on I overanalyzed what happened on Sunday. I should have just went with what I said all week, which was Jacksonville. And I'm right now this week, I am still leaning towards the Lions playing a real good game because it's early on in the season, and the Patriots secondary right now, not a fan of what I've seen so far. And I think that's going to be a very entertaining game on Sunday night. I think the Lions are going to put up some points.
I love Eric Rowe. I don't know what you're talking about, Pete. He is the best thing to happen to the Patriots in a very long time.
Yep. That's why they went out and got Cyrus Jones again.
So boo-hoo for you. You don't like You don't like your secondary. I don't like my offense, my defense, my special teams, my coaching. I mean, I was ready to come in here and talk trash. I talked trash all summer long. I was ready for the Lions to upset the Patriots and put you in your rightful place. And then I saw us play in the preseason. And then I saw the Jets game. And then I saw the first three quarters of the Niners game. And I'm like, I can't do it. I'll be rooting harder than anybody for the Lions on Sunday night. And I will enjoy a victory if it should happen.
I think it's an entertaining game.
I'm not going on the record and saying that they're going to. Entertaining game is not the same as a W.
We'll find out.
We spent the whole show the other day saying it doesn't matter. Just get the W. I don't see it.
6.5 points or 7 points, whatever it's going to be when we make our picks tomorrow.
Well, Craig, here's a really good way to look at it. The last time the Patriots played on Monday Night Football, they lost.
Yeah.
They did.
Except this is Sunday night.
Yeah.
Got a phone to answer.
Saved by the bell.
ESPN.
Again, saved by the bell.
Monday night would be the Steelers coming into Tampa to get their beat down. Buccaneers.
That's
magic.
Another entertaining game.
That one, boy, I looking forward to that more than I am the Sunday night game. I am telling you, I'm looking forward to both of the primetime games this weekend. I think fantastic storylines.
Now, right now, you have to make your official pick. Do you think the Lions are going to stay within 7 points of the Patriots? I think they are.
The only way they stay within 7 of the Patriots is like a late garbage touchdown with 2 minutes to go, and then we miss the onside kick.
I don't know how you can be that. You're going, again, strictly by what you saw in the Jet game.
That's all I have.
I watched most of the Niners game. In the second
they went down by 17 points the whole game.
And they had a chance to win it at the end if they didn't get screwed on a call.
By the way, they did get screwed.
They did. I told you.
I haven't heard from the NFL yet, but they did send that play in.
They're on the 7-yard line. They would have. If they had won that game, would you feel differently?
Yes.
But they lost by 3 on a very questionable call.
Yes.
After making a very nice comeback, you still don't have any confidence in your
Pete Shepard. Not only are we so bad, we lose.
They're Lions, Pete.
Yeah, we're like the Browns in that we lose about 2 games a year just getting screwed on bad calls. I remember the Monday night game in Seattle where they botched the touchdown call. Yeah, I mean, we will get hosed. So if we go 9-7, we really could have won 11 games.
That Atlanta call was the correct call last year.
All right, then I can flip it and say we came within an inch of beating Atlanta.
That's fair, but it wasn't a bad call.
You're right. I'm still upset about it, but you're right. It was the right call.
And you're good for one loss a season on an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary.
Yeah. So you're talking two or three games right
there. Knock it down.
Exactly. So instead of being a mediocre 9-win team, you're right. We should be 11 or 12 every year, but we're not. So I have to account for that.
No, we should do.
In my pessimism.
We should both do Facebook Live on the station Facebook that game.
That'd be cool. And instead of Booger Cam?
Yeah.
Like a Pete Cam.
Yeah,
and a Craig Cam.
Pete Cam, Craig Cam. You know what? We really should have set up an event where we were together watching this game somehow, some way. We should have.
Yeah, maybe. I want to just drink my beer and chill out. I don't want to be on the air.
You want to come over him?
No, just like a camera.
I got Cheez-Its.
We blew through those on the bus, didn't we?
Oh, they didn't have a chance. That was like, he was like passing out filet mignon. It was like,
by the way, it was my day to bring snacks for my kids' class today.
Oh, that's right.
What? And you forgot.
Oh, did you forget?
No, I didn't forget.
What did you bring? Did you go all out?
There's a specific list of items. Peanuts. Like nothing with sugar, nothing with peanuts, obviously.
Nothing with sugar either?
No prepackaged. Basically, they say we want to save the sugary treats when it's kids' birthdays.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're telling me that you need me to buy fruit, which is expensive.
Right.
So yeah, so I had to get a thing
sugar
of apples today.
Sugar and fruit.
Well, it's natural sugar. It's
it's sugar. Thing. Sugar in the body. I mean, it adds up.
Do I remember? It was like $30.
Whoa.
What apples.
What if you bought sugar-free cupcakes, which they have?
Hold on, Tiger Birdie again. Minus
cheese
three.
Sticks, not the cubes, because the cubes can be choking hazards.
Oh my word!
Right?
Are you serious?
I promise you, I'm not making this up. Yeah, the cheese cubes are choking hazards. Now the apple slices are not, apparently, but that's a conversation.
I've choked on more apples than I have cheese in my lifetime.
Me too.
And it's like, if you're bringing there needs to be something for all the kids because not everybody likes the same thing. So I ended up having to bring crackers, cheese, and apples to a class of 2-year-olds today.
Glass of wine and I think you're golden.
How about popcorn?
No.
Because
the teachers have to, like the pre-popped, Pop Smart or something like that.
Yeah,
I guess you could do that, but.
Or just a big bag of popcorn.
Does a parent have to bring in a snack every day? Is this a daily rotation?
Yeah.
So you're going to get hit like 8 times, 9 times a year?
This is my second time this year.
Why is that? Why can't...
And you're paying tuition
at
this school?
Because they're afraid that if someone brings in something with peanuts in it, someone's going to smell it and go into a bad reaction.
Well, no, that's a real thing.
I get the peanut thing, but it's like...
We all brought our own snack.
But don't eliminate the sugar.
Before.
Bring your own snack.
We all brought
These
our own snack
These kids stay
before.
At school from 8:30 to 12:15. They can go 4 hours without eating.
I used to have an orange or an apple. That was we always had fruit. A lot of times we didn't eat it, but it was always there for snack
there,
time
right.
in elementary school.
And there was that one kid who never brought the food home, and it starts to smell at the end of the day.
And it's also a life lesson that is lost. And you know what that life lesson is?
Be prepared for a day.
No.
What?
No. the
Wrong.
Wrong.
That was my lesson. What? Tell me, Pete. What's obviously I need to learn?
You start negotiating. There's nothing better than a good trade at lunchtime for your snack, for my snack.
I bet you ripped
your half
kids.
A peanut butter. No, I never.
Were you
traded.
A bully?
No. I'm not talking about bully. I'm talking about hey.
Right. Oh my gosh, you got strawberry Go-Gurt? I love Go-Gurt. Here, let me package my pack of goldfish. Timmy, give me half of your brownie. I'll throw you $2 and let's package this together.
I never traded food.
I mean, when somebody brought it, like it was a treat. I'm talking when I was in first grade. Yeah. In first grade, it was like 1973, 74. If somebody brought in a Hostess cupcake, that was like, whoa! Like nobody did that.
I like ding dongs. No,
and it was like, can I have a piece? Are you going to eat the frosting?
Yeah.
Can I have the icing? You know?
I never traded food.
Yeah, I usually didn't either, but.
I traded baseball cards. I didn't trade food.
239 texting in, BYOS, bring your own snack. I completely agree.
I think they're afraid that with all these rules now that the teacher would be liable. Like you said, kid chokes on the cheese.
Wait a minute. Who's more liable? A parent who sends his kid off or with their own snack that you know they can eat versus relying on Chris to whip something up haphazardly on his way into work.
Like I said, but what happens is maybe the parent makes a mistake and all of a sudden the kid kid that has peanut butter crackers and little Sally has a massive allergic reaction, which I get.
Yeah.
I understand.
Well, and I brought
that.
Up the idea, how about I just get a couple things of, you know, blueberries?
Yeah.
Well, that's expensive. You can't do that because then the teacher has to wash the blueberries before they're sent out.
What if they're washed already?
Well, I was buying them on my way to school, so I couldn't wash them.
But even if you did, well, say you didn't even, say you just washed and brought them in, would that be okay? I don't understand.
239 says, Pete has no kids, right?
Yeah.
I think the kid.
Yeah, but we brought our own snacks. I mean, first, second, third, fourth grade, right? I think fifth grade had stopped. But first, second, third, fourth grade, it was usually an orange. We had an orange or a pear or an apple. You know, or peanut.
So, Chris, you're paying hundreds of dollars a month to send your kid off for a four-hour work day, 30 minutes of which is snack time. Probably another 30 minutes is outdoor activity time. And is there nap time built in as well?
No, but my kid has, whatever, he's two, he doesn't care. When we hang out on our back porch at the house, I got a TV out there, I drink beer out there. It's great. Well, I've kind of taught him, like, it's okay to go pee outside.
Here we go. Of course you did.
They end the day on the playground.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Where it has become,
I see it coming.
It has become a daily occurrence, not just to wet himself, pull his pants down,
let it rip.
I gotta go, guys.
What, does he find a tree?
No, it just goes.
Oh, really?
It's becoming an issue.
How many phone calls have you gotten?
Well, we had to. My wife talked with the teacher today on the phone.
And what are we going to do about this problem,
We're
going
to try to figure out a way to get him to go to the bathroom before they go out on the playground.
Good hope.
So it's, you're just preventing it.
You know, this is making you look bad because he goes, I do this at home all the time. I just pee wherever I want.
But that's fine. Like, I was brought up. I just knew the difference.
Did you?
Don't whip it out and take a tinkle on the playground.
Apparently you don't, because you pee everywhere else. You pee in the pool. You pee in the shower. You pee everywhere but the toilet. I don't think you've learned this skill, Chris.
I
have a concern for you and your son at this point, and your parenting.
Absolutely. I mean, geez, the apple doesn't fall far, does it?
I'm starting to see the picture painted. Oh. 239. Keep this, guys. Keep this going, guys. Great birth control. All right. More of your phone calls later on. 239-337 ESPN. And coming up, we're gonna talk some high school football. Alex Martin will be in studio. By the way, if you you know, we've been asking all these questions. If you have some questions about local high school football, and I believe the game we're gonna be carrying tomorrow is South Fort Myers at Palmetto Ridge. Line up your questions for that. He's the expert. So he can tell you all about it. It's coming up next. And then later on, we'll talk some fantasy football with Marcus Grant from the NFL Network. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Sports. You love it. Love it. We love it. Love it. And quite frankly, I don't trust anyone who doesn't love it. Do you?
Is that a serious question?
This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Going to talk some high school football in just a moment. Of course, our game of the week this week, South Fort Myers and Palmetto Ridge. That is tomorrow. Later on, Marcus Grant will join us from the NFL Network. We'll talk some fantasy football with him at Rick Hara, our business insider, at 5:30. Also, we're the show that just keeps on giving. I mean, coming up at the top of the hour, we've got the word of the hour for the Sheeman and Shepard cash grab, where you could win $1,000 and before the show is over, we're going to be giving away two tickets to the Buccaneers-Steelers Monday night football game coming up.
Monday,
yeah, right. Thank you for finishing my sentence, because I was going nowhere fast. It's in Tampa. It's a short drive. Go on up there. We'll give you two tickets to that game before we leave the airwaves today. So a lot of fun. Alex Martin is with us here to talk a little high school football as well. If you have any questions for him, now's the time to do it over here over the next couple of minutes. You want to ask about some of the local teams going on. You know, Pete and I ask him a lot of questions. He gives us a lot of good information, but we need to open up the phones to you guys if you have any questions as well at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Alex, how are you, sir?
Doing great. How about you guys?
Very good. Very good. So
try to get some of these games in for you. Huh?
Yeah, weather's been bare this year.
It's been interesting. I went to a game on Monday night with Joe and Dave, and we went out to Dunbar to go check out Immokalee Dunbar, and that game too, there were two lightning delays. Yeah. So there was one at the beginning. We left because it was the second quarter.
Yeah.
And then I believe that one was about an hour and a half, and then right out of the lightning delay, another one, and that was a long game.
It's a little frustrating. Oh. Is it this? I've only lived here a year and a half. Is it this bad trying to get the first half of the season in every year?
Not really. It's been changing over the past couple of years. Yeah. Like I remember my first year with Joe and Dave was in 16, and we maybe had one rain delay
at
the beginning of the year.
Wow.
It's changed ever since Irma.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Something going on. A lot of extra lightning around here getting our attention. All right, so I haven't looked at the forecast. Probably the same old for tomorrow. We got South Fort Myers and Palmetto Ridge. How about a preview for that one?
A preview. South Fort Myers, we covered them last week. Although they did lose 28-14, there were a lot of bright spots on the offensive side in the second half. They also forced three fumbles against a Fort Myers team, which usually doesn't turn it over a lot.
Yeah.
They forced two fumbles against Yesias Young, their tailback, and then they got one on, I think, a Willie Neal fumble. And the thing is, though, with South is that I checked out their schedule on Max Preps.
Yeah.
It's really tough from here on out. They got teams like Naples, Gulf Coast, and then they got Riverdale. Riverdale's just, oh my goodness. They put up 72 points on Monday night.
Mm.
It's just that wing T. It's ridiculously.
Wow.
Putting up 72 points, it's like Georgia taking on like the Citadel.
Yeah.
It's.
I used to be the announcer at the Citadel.
Yeah. Anybody complain about running that kind of nonsense? And I mean, it's your job to stop them. What are you going to do? Especially if you're running the football. If you can't stop me running the football, what am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
Take a knee?
Yeah, just take knees in the third quarter with the running clock? No.
Yeah.
No.
239-337 ESPN is the phone number if you got some high school football questions for Alex. James in the Cape is on with Sheeman and Shepherd. James, go ahead.
Hey, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. What's your question?
Question, what do you think about the matchup between Oasis and Canterbury tomorrow?
I think that this will be a fairly – this should be a decent game. Oasis is 3-1, and they played a 4-0 team last week. That's LaBelle. That was a very tight game, one-score game. Canterbury, it's kind of a rebuilding year. They're really thin on the depth chart. I would say Oasis will probably pull this one out by two or three scores.
Hmm. All right. 239-337 ESPN is the number. How about who's the highest caliber recruit in Southwest Florida? That from the 863 texting in on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line.
I'd say the highest caliber recruit probably it's got to be either Ches Malusi out of Naples, Derek Hunter Jr. out of Dunbar, or you could say that Dom Mamorelli out of Naples. He's their tight end. He is a verbal to go to the University of Miami.
Oh, okay.
I'd say one of those three guys.
The first guy you mentioned, wasn't he? I thought it was a verbal. He's going to Clemson, one of those guys you just mentioned.
He is going to Clemson. Okay. That is correct.
Okay. You guys were talking when I walked
in. Proud of myself today. Remember that?
Yeah, very good. You guys were talking about some of the undefeateds as we're getting into the season and we're kind of getting a feel for who might have that special kind of season and get on into the playoffs and all that. Who are some of the teams still standing out there with the unblemished records?
Right now we got Fort Myers is 4-0. Riverdale is undefeated at 4-0. LaBelle is undefeated at 4-0. Cape Coral is 4-0. Cape Coral has really been the surprise, I'd say, thus far. The consensus was that their first three games, yes, they go undefeated, but the strength of schedule was weak. Mm-hmm. But they went up to Port Charlotte last week, who was also 3-0 at the time, and they beat them on the road 31-29. And that just shows that Cape Coral is legit. They went on the road, beat a successful program, and it'd be looking forward. It'll be interesting to see how they do this week.
So they're one of your surprise teams, obviously, Cape Coral. Anybody else jump out at you? Not the overall favorites, but more the underdog that has surprised you so far?
I mean, one of the less talked about teams, the caller mentioned it, Oasis. Oasis is it's a newer school. It's not really talked about. It's on the west side of Cape Coral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're 3-1. They have a good program in usually basketball, baseball, and football every season.
Yeah.
It's just – you don't hear about it. It's just one of those programs, like, you don't hear about them a lot. You'd expect them to get name recognition as time goes on, but it's kind of stayed the same installed.
Now, I also eavesdropped. I came in during the break when you guys were talking, going back to the weather for a minute. Were we talking, are there proposals out there or conversations going on for delaying the season so we don't get tied up in these September thunderstorms? Or would that be just too crazy to move football season later and get closer to the holidays and all that kind of stuff?
It's been talked about by some guys in the media that I know. It was mentioned in an article about just moving football back to the winter because the argument is that schools are losing a lot of money because of the rain delays. It's a waste of time. And also in the winter season kicks in, and it's a lot more people down in Southwest Florida than there is right now.
Yeah.
But the only thing against that is that I can see is that, I mean, we talked about it yesterday, the City of Palms Classic. What would you do about that?
I was going to say, whoever's involved in basketball, their coach, the basketball coach, is not going to be too happy with that. And probably and other sports, too.
On top of that, I mean, part of the appeal of high school football, at least on this, is, okay, when a Fort Myers or a Naples comes out of this side of the state, watching them go up against the St. Thomas, against the Miami Central, you know, against some of the big boy powerhouses in Orlando, in Tampa, in Miami, you'd have to get the entire state to swap. And
It won't work out.
No.
And especially that, given that 95% of all scheduled games in Florida have been completed.
Yeah.
And that just that's just against the argument. And it would also take away from the City of Palms, because the local teams couldn't really play in it, could they? Because
Well, no. I mean, you look at a school like Fort Myers, I'm sure that they've got, you know, they've got their basketball players, they've got their football players, but just going back a few years, like Jayron Kearse was a huge asset for their basketball team. To make that kid have to choose, hey, football or basketball, when he's in the NFL now, I mean, that you can't do that.
One more question from the Stony Brook Golf Club text lines. We have Alex Martin here in studio from the Southwest Football High School Football Game of the Week. What do you think of the Golden Gate Titans?
They are also undefeated. They are very impressive on offense. They got two running backs, Jay Herrard and Juvenzley Bazeal. Bazeal's going to Wazoo, going up to Pullman, Washington. They're really impressive, and they were short all three of them last week. They were short their quarterback, Jay Herrard, and Bazeal, and they still pulled out a victory.
Yeah.
Which I thought was impressive.
Good depth.
And they're gonna be competing as well when it comes to playoff time. They should be maybe a one or two loss team at most.
Yeah, what was the stat we saw last week? And it was it St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale? Have the most players in the NFL
from one
high school. 15.
Or 15. 15.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Well, and that's not the only school over there. I mean, Miami Northwestern, Miami Central has always put out.
I hear you. I know. I just thought that stat kind of went viral at least.
And I think the best rivalry in high school football is Pahokee against Belle Glades or Glades Central.
Yeah.
The Muck Bowl is what they call it.
NFL
Network did a spectacular 1-hour documentary on it. It was the year Janoris Jenkins was coming out of Glades Central, I believe. Maybe he was coming out of Pahokee, but it's a fascinating 1-hour documentary.
Well, we've got South Fort Myers and Palmetto Ridge tomorrow, 6:30 airtime. Alex, thanks as always for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
All right, Alex.
Sounds good.
Keep up the great work.
All right, don't forget, we're giving away some Steelers-Buccaneers tickets to the Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab all around the corner and the Obscure Sports Minute. Stay with us, Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
The World Anti-Doping Agency has declared Russia's scandal-ridden drug-fighting operation back in business today. The decision designed to bring a close to one of sport's most notorious doping scandals, but one bitterly disputed by hundreds of athletes, all Russian, to say that. It was a 9-2 vote. How about that?
9-2? Who? Two dissented?
I guess. Cristiano Ronaldo likely to serve a one-game Champions League ban, sources have told ESPN, which would leave the Juventus forward free to face former club Manchester United at Old Trafford. That's where Manchester United plays. And we got a bunch of preseason hockey on tonight. Two games on ESPN Plus. First up at 7, Devils Islanders. Then at 10 o'clock, it's Kings Canucks.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Other games? Another Florida team is in action. Habs hosting the Caps. Blackhawks at Detroit. That's a good matchup.
Yeah, go Detroit.
Dallas at Minnesota. The Jets at the Oilers. The Ducks host the Sharks. And the Golden Knights play the Kings.
They took PFT off the air yesterday because the Bruins were playing Calgary in China.
China.
Sold out.
Now,
Beijing.
I don't pay attention, obviously, to preseason NHL. What's the strategy there? Is it kind of like the NBA, or do they not play anybody for three games
like the NFL? Tukaras, the goalie, played the whole game.
Okay.
So did Calgary starting goaltender as well.
Okay.
A lot of starters played in that game. They were out there, though, for a week. They played four games out there.
Yeah.
All right.
Out there being China?
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
Pete, I got some bad news.
Nah, never. There's no bad news today.
Really? Well,
what?
I know you, like I, am a fan of the rock group Kiss.
Yes.
Forget about this Maroon 5 nonsense. Kiss has announced the final ever tour, the end of the road, 4 decades of music. Kiss is going to be calling it quits after this tour.
That's too bad.
A moment of silence.
Seen him 3 times. I mean, first concert ever, 1977.
I'm proud to say it is my children's first concert that I took them to. Kiss.
Proud of that?
Yeah, I am, actually. Instead of all this bubblegum pop music that's out there and all that kind of stuff, Kiss puts on a good show. And it was a family-friendly show, as a matter of fact.
Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley.
Yeah, because when you think Gene Simmons, you think family-friendly.
Well, no.
He actually is.
It was. There are no swear words in the concert.
No, they don't do that.
It was a clean show. Now, they have sexual innuendo in their lyrics. I mean, no question about it.
But
Beth, I hear you calling. This is their only number one song.
This is the Kiss song that I pick.
That you pick?
Of all the Kiss songs I could pull up, I pull up this.
This was their only number one song, by the way.
Yeah, Beth. But they had a lot of top 10. They had a lot of hits, and they made millions. Their albums were great. The early ones were great back in the day. You either loved them or you hated them. My parents would... when that three-album Kiss set... They had the first ever three-album set. Come on. Sing it, Peter. And I'll be right home. By the way, this is to Peter, Chris's wife, Linda, I believe, but
Linda didn't have the right.
Call in. Oh, Craig, Beth, what can I do? Beth, what can I do? Oh, my God.
It's just a money grab. That's all it is, a farewell tour.
Well, yeah, because they don't have enough money after 45 years of being awesome.
Kiss should not play the halftime show 5:08. No,
absolutely should.
Rock and roll all night.
You guys are so wrong on this point. We had that terrible run where you got The Who playing and The Stones and Mick Jagger, who's way too old to be out there dancing around in leather.
Yeah, but Kiss is different.
It was so far. It shouldn't be that way. It is 2018. It will be 2019. Maroon 5 is today's Kiss.
No, I agree with you that Paul McCartney show and all those guys put me to sleep. The Who, worst halftime show
Paul
ever.
Paul was good.
I didn't like it. It was boring. You and I were both there for that one.
You stepped on my toe.
I was Jacksonville.
Terrible.
Are you kidding me? Shout It Out Loud.
Long run there.
You tell me Shout It Out Loud and Rock and Roll All Night would bring the house down.
That is a great idea, 508.
And last year, if it was in Detroit, it could have been Detroit Rock City. How awesome that would have been, even though it's about a truck driver who cracks up and dies.
Well, it wasn't in Detroit last year. It was more
whenever it was.
Several years ago.
But that was the Steelers-Seahawks Super Bowl.
That was Super Bowl 40.
I mean, so that was a few years ago. Yeah, I'm 13.
It's been a while. Yeah. I don't know who did halftime that year. Motown, but I don't recall who it was.
I don't remember. I was so pissed at the referees.
Must have been memorable. Well, that was the worst refereeing job ever of a Super Bowl. There's no question about it. 239 Kiss is a joke of a band. Dare you?
Hey. Fact.
45 years of greatness. Chris, you double your time on this earth. That's how long Kiss has been playing.
You would be, if you really see, there's some great interviews out there. I told you, Bill Shatner used to do this thing called, we'll get a break, right?
William.
I'll tell you afterwards. Yeah.
All right.
My fault.
Pete's story coming up next.
Yeah, I like stories.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Story time.